just go into the word. Let us agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you've so richly given unto us upon resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We've come to fellowship in the word. We declare and decree this evening that as we go into the word, our hearts are receptive to receive the truth of God's word. Our hearts are receptive to receive the truth of God's word. There is no confusion as God's word is taught this evening. The truth of God's word is taught with precision and in accuracy. And at the end of this meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Praise God. Yeah, so we'll just round off this this very interesting series we started a while ago. I think 2 months ago. This particular one is 2 months ago. We started teaching on the leading of the Spirit. And we're learning how, we're studying about how to recognize the leading of the Spirit. We've come into several conclusions from scriptures, and we've come to see that there is no sin that lacks the leading of the Spirit. You know, there is no sin that lacks the leading of the Spirit. All sins are indwelled of God, and it means that by default, every sin has life in him or herself. Yeah, so this evening, we'll just pay a little more attention to what we call the inward witness. And see what, you know, scripture teaches about that. If you're with your Bibles, which I believe you should be with, turn with me to Matthew's Gospel 28. Matthew's Gospel 28, verse 18. 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 See what Matthew says there. Very profound and very instructive. See what it says there. It says, Matthew's Gospel 8, verse 18, it says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All authority," that's what their power, "is given unto me in heaven and in earth." He says, "Go ye therefore in this authority and teach all nations." Yeah, that word they teach means to make people students. So make people students of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Yeah, we've done a full teaching series explaining how what we have is the name of the Son. Yeah, so in the entire Bible, the only portion of scripture where you will see name of the Father, name of the Son, name of the Holy Ghost is in Matthew's Gospel 28, verse 19. Yeah, in the real sense, what we have is the name of the Son. It means the reputation of the Son. So baptizing them in the name of the Son is what we have there. So baptizing there is not water baptism like we've, you know, established using hours upon hours of teaching, you know, and we've said that that is about teaching all nations. Yeah, so in our sense, in verse 20, something important says, "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Yeah, so there's an assurance that we have in the fact that upon resurrection, Christ remains with the person or in the heart of one who believes. He says, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." So there is the assurance of what? There is the assurance and there is safety we have in that assurance. So he says we should go, you know, he told disciples, he says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." He now says, verse 20, "teaching them to observe." So there are definite things or there is a particular content that should be used to teach all nations. And we saw that from Acts chapter 1, verse 1 to 3, where we see clearly that Jesus had a 40-day seminar meeting. Yeah, what was he doing for 40 days? He was teaching strictly. Yeah, no room for frivolities. Yeah, no room for the unnecessary things, you know, that people might have expected from him. Yeah, he taught about his resurrection and that alone, strictly. Acts, Luke tells us in Acts that he spoke about the kingdom of God. Yeah, so we've come to understand certain realities about our faith, and we've understood that in as much as saints, we believe the gospel to be saved, yet we still use the scriptures to revalidate, or rather to reestablish ourselves in doctrine. So this month we've been looking at the leading of the Spirit and how to recognize the leading of the Spirit. Yeah, so turn with me to John chapter 8 verse 12. Yeah, so we're going into teaching all nations right now. Yeah, so John 8 verse 12. John chapter 8 verse 12. John chapter 8 verse 12. Look at something very interesting there. Look at John chapter 8 verse 12. So what Jesus says there, he says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world." So Jesus is saying, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." And so we see that upon resurrection, Christ has given life unto one who believes. So his light, as we've seen in previous teachings, his light is our life. Yeah. So in the real sense, his light is his life in us. So by the life that we have, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Yeah, that everlasting life is everlasting light. Yeah. So by his life we've received upon resurrection, the saint is indwelled of light. There is light in the saints. Look at John 10. Look at John 10 quickly. Look at John 10, 10. Look at John 10, 10. John 10, 10. Look at John 10, 10. Look at John 10, 10. If I look at verse 9, I am the door, by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Look at verse 10, the thief cometh not, but to kill, to steal, and to destroy. I am come that ye might have life. So, a good way to read Matthew, John 10, 10 will be, I have come, or I am come, I am he that has come, that ye might have light. I am he that has come, that ye might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Yeah, so we have life. We have life more abundantly. Look at John 1, 12. Look at John chapter 1, verse 12, quickly. Look at John 1, verse 12. So, by receiving the gospel, we receive life. By the light we've received life. By the life we've received, see what John 1, 12 tells us. He says, but as many as receive him, remember, what did we say? He that receives the gospel has received light. He that receives the gospel has received life. Yeah, so look at, in the real sense, what did we receive? We received the gospel. In the real sense, what did you receive? He that received him, look at verse 12 again of John 1. Look at John 1, 12. But as many as received him, so can we say, as many as received light, as many have or has or have received life, yeah, to them he gave power. So there is a light received. With the light received, he gave power to become sons. Yeah, he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. In the real sense, it's the same thing he's saying. To believe on his name is to receive him. Altogether, upon believing on his name, we've received him. So, as many as received him is equal to them that believe on his name. Yeah, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Son. In the based on the reputation of the Son, that becomes your doctrine, such that anyone that listens to that and believes that has received what? Power to become sons. Hallelujah. Look at Hebrews 2 quickly. Look at Hebrews 2. Look at Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. Look at Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. So the saint has received life. The saint has received light. The saint, by receiving light, has received the power to become a son. So by default, the saint is a son. Look at that on Sunday. For sinners are led by the Spirit of God. They are the sons of God. We are heirs now. Joint heirs right now. Yeah. So we are heirs. That means we are ones or we are those that have an inheritance. That's on Sunday teaching. So the saint is one who receives life, that is, receives light, that is, has become or received the power to become the Son of God. And it means that the saint is an heir. That means the saint has an inheritance. Look at Hebrews 2. Look at Hebrews 2, verse 9. Look at Hebrews 2, verse 9. It says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Yeah, so for every man, Christ has tasted death. Yeah, but not every man has received it. Not every man has believed that in their hearts. Yeah, look at verse 10. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many what? Many sons unto glory. So how did he bring many sons unto glory? In that he did a work of crucifixion and resurrection, and a man which in the real sense is part of everyone who God has tasted death for, by the work of the cross, he that receives is bringing himself, or is so in receiving the gospel, in believing the gospel, you are one who is brought. Yeah, so in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Look at Romans 5:8 quickly. Glory to God. Look at Romans 5:8. Look at Romans chapter 5, verse 8. It says, But God, Romans 5:8. But God commended his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It says, much more then, being now justified by his blood, he says, we shall be saved from wrath through him. So, but God commanded his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, he gave himself, he tasted death, so that he who believes is brought into sonship. Look at Romans 6. Look at Romans 6:23. Romans 6, verse 23. Oh, glory to God, glory to God, glory, glory, glory. Look at Romans 6:23. Remember, it says, the wages of sin is death. Yeah, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What did Jesus tell us in John 8:12? He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life, yeah, or shall have light in him. So, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So, can we say, but the gift of God is eternal life? Yeah, look at that again. But the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal light through Christ our Lord. So we have been made sons. It means that we have the Son in him. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, we have received him. Yet for as many as received him, to them he gave power to become sons. So in receiving him, in receiving his work, in receiving the reputation of his name, we are made sons. Yeah, we have his life and we have his light. Hallelujah. Praise be God. Look at 1 John 5. Look at 1 John 5 verse 11. Look at 1 John chapter 5 verse 11. So he who receives the gospel has received Jesus into his life. Yeah, that's why our saints, yeah, when you want to lead an unbeliever to Christ, you don't say, I give my life to Christ. No, you don't have a life. Yeah, you don't have a life. A man who has not received the life of God is lifeless to God. We'll see that in Romans 6 quickly, shortly. Yeah, so when you go out for outreaches, when you meet someone who is an unbeliever, in preaching the gospel, he is receiving life. In preaching the gospel, in him believing what you preach, he is receiving light. In him is believing what you preach, which is really the gospel, he is receiving him. Yeah, so he doesn't have the life to give. So, but in the real sense, as saints, before we were saints, we were unbelievers. Now that the gospel has been preached to us, we have now received the gospel. We now give our lives in service to the saints, to God through or to the saints, to men. Are we together? I'll say that one more time. Yeah, we don't give our life before salvation. So, no, a man who is not saved has no life to give God. Yeah, it is upon receiving God's life, by that example, we see an example of service to give ourselves. So, when you say, I give my life to Christ, when did you give your life to Christ? No, giving your life to Christ is a continuous, deliberate effort we make on a daily basis. So, a man who is without the gospel is a man who is without light. So, look at 1 John 5. See 1 John 5. Look at 1 John 5 verse 11. Where it says, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Look at it again. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. Yeah, remember, what is eternal life? Eternal life is eternal light. Yeah, so, and this is the record. If I hold your hands in 1 John 5 and run with me quickly to John 1, 4. Look at John 1 quickly. Look at John 1. Look at John 1. Look at John 1, 4. Look at John 1. Just hold your hands in 1 John 5. Yeah, 1 John 5 verse 11. Let's see John 1, 4 and 5. Look at John 1, 4. It says, in him, that's in Christ. Yeah, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. See, so who is light? Light is life. What is life? Light is life. So in receiving life, we receive light. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Go back to 1 John quickly. Look at 1 John 5. Look at 1 John 5, 11. It says, this is the record that God hath given to us eternal light. Yeah, in your Bibles, you see life. But we've established that life is light. Yeah, and the light is in his Son. He that had the Son hath life. We can say, he that had the Son hath light. And he that hath not the Son hath not life. What does that mean? He that hath not the Son has not light. So a one who has not the Son is in darkness. Yeah. Back to Genesis 1. And God said, let there be light. Remember we did a teaching of that. Genesis 1 verse 1 to 3. Yeah. When it says the earth was without form and darkness was upon the face of the deep. What does that mean? That is figuratively writing, or that is Moses figuratively writing concerning the heart of a man who has not believed the gospel. So when it says, let there be light. What is light? The light of the life of God. The light that is the light of the glorious gospel. Hallelujah. Praise be God. Yeah, so we see that we've received him, that is, we received his life, we received his sonship, we are now sons, we've been led, translated from the flesh to the spirit, now we are full of life, that is, full of light. See what Paul says in Romans 6. See what Paul says in Romans 6:11. See what Paul says in Romans 6:11. So Paul says something very interesting that we should try pay attention to that. Look at Romans 6:11. So what Paul says there, carefully. Romans 6:11. See what Paul says. He says, likewise, reckon ye. Yeah, reckon ye. See that word there, reckon or reckon, it means to take into full cognizance. Yeah, to take into full, so to recognize fully. So Paul says, like, look at verse 10. Yeah, remember, the likewise will come in from verse 10. Yeah, so for you to say likewise, yeah, it means that there was a preceding conversation. Look at verse 10. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he lived unto God forever. Yeah, I mean, that's clear. I mean, it's not written there, but that is what it is. Yeah. It now says in verse 11, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sins, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Why are you alive unto God? Because you have his life and you have his light. So the word there reckon means to take into full cognizance that we are alive to God. We are in fellowship with God. We are in union with God. Yeah, his absolute life is in us. His absolute light is in us. So remember, we said already in our previous teachings, when you have light, you automatically have direction. It is left for you to know how to recognize what the direction is saying. Hallelujah. Look at 1 Corinthians. Look at 1 Corinthians 6:17. So in his light, we're in full fellowship. We're in full union. You know, a couple of people try to explain, you know, difference between, you know, some people say there's a difference between, this is how they say it again. I think there's a difference between fellowship and, fellowship and relationship or fellowship and union or something like that, you know, and some people say that when a man sins, he breaks fellowship with God, you know, and things like that. Really, scripture teaches them to be the same. Look at 1 Corinthians 6. Look at 1 Corinthians 6:17. Look at 1 Corinthians 6:17. It says, but he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. That means you are in consistent perpetual life. You are a consistent perpetual life. You are a consistent perpetual spirit. So, you know, so a saint can live beside his reality. That's why Paul tells us in Romans 6. Likewise, reckon ye also that ye are alive unto God. John, look at 1 John. Look at 1 John 1:5. Look at 1 John 1:5. It says, this is the message which we have heard of him, and we declare unto you. What is the message there, saints? That God is life. That God is light. And in him, there is no darkness at all. So, there is no evil in God. There has never been evil in God. There will never be evil in God. So, God has never killed anybody and will never kill anybody. Yeah, no matter the number of days and months you do for personal vigil or personal, retreat, praying for God to kill, God is powerless in reference to death. Yeah, what we see as God's power is his ability to raise and bring back to life. Yeah, to give life, not in darkness. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yeah, so we can count on the relationship and fellowship we have with him. The fellowship we have with him is based on him, not on us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Look at John 15. Look at John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verse 1 to 5. Look at John 15, 1 to 5. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. That word taketh away is a single word, aero, and it means to support. Yeah, so the responsibility of the support, of supporting the branch that beareth no fruit, is in his care. In fact, before you read John 15, go to John 10, 28. Go to John 10, 28. John chapter 10, verse 28. See what it says there. It says, and I give unto them eternal life. That is, I give unto them eternal light, and they shall never perish. What does it mean to perish? It means to walk in darkness. Yeah, it means to really end up in what you call the recompensation wrath and things like that. So, I give unto them eternal life, that is eternal light, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any pluck them from my hands. So, what Jesus says is, for my Father, which giveth them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. So it means that you must be greater than God to pluck a saint from God's hand. Go back to John 15 now. Go back to John 15. Yeah, so look, see John 15. So he says, no one can pluck them from my Father's hand, because my Father is greater than all. Look at John 15. Every branch in me that beareth no fruit, he plucks out. So it means that will not make any sense there, because to take away there means to pluck away, to pluck out. Yeah. So what is the responsibility of God? Yeah. In reference to this vine story, it is that he supports. So every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he supplies support. That's the rereading of that. Yeah. Look at, verse 3. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Yeah, that scripture, you know, that's similar to that scripture that says it is God that wills, you know, that the willing and the doing of his good will. Look at 1 Peter 1. Look at 1 Peter 1 quickly. Run quickly to 2 Peter 1. Look at 2 Peter 1:2. Look at 2 Peter 1:2. 2 Peter 1:4. Look at, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of divine nature. That word there, partaker, means fellowship. That word there is the same word, fellowship. Look at it again. Whereby are given unto us great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers. Yeah, yeah, you know that it's similar to that word, koinonia, koinonios. This particular word, partaker, is koinonios. Partaker, that is, you are in fellowship. Nothing changes. Yeah, nothing changes. Having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust, he has given us. Now we have received. Glory to God. Now, let's look at something carefully as we venture into the inward, you know, the inward witness. You know, John 1:1. Look at John 1:1. A very vital fact of our faith. Go back to John chapter 1, verse 1. Look at John chapter 1, verse 1, quickly. Look at John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, it's important for us to know, as saints, that Jesus did not, Jesus is God speaking. Let me say it again. Jesus is not a messenger of God. Jesus is the message of God. Yeah, in the beginning was the word. That word there, word, is the word logos. What does it mean? It means the message, the thought pattern, the systematic approach. So in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. So Jesus is God. Jesus is God speaking. Look at verse 14. Look at 14. And the word was made flesh. What does that mean? It means that Jesus is God. Jesus is God. Jesus is God speaking for himself. So Jesus is deity speaking for himself. So, that's why you never see, there's none of Jesus' scripture. The best you see Jesus quote is the scripture said. Yeah? Jesus never said, thus says the Lord. Yeah? Because he is the Lord. So, Jesus is deity speaking for himself. So, Jesus spoke as God. So, Jesus is the message of God and not the messenger of God. Hallelujah. So, he is the message. He is the message. Look at Isaiah 7. Look at Isaiah 7. Jesus is God. Look at Isaiah 7 verse 14. Quickly. Isaiah chapter 7. Look at Isaiah 27, verse 14. It says, therefore, the Lord himself shall give a sign. Behold, what is the sign? Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. What is Emmanuel? Look at Isaiah 14. Look at Isaiah 9:6. Look at Isaiah 9:6. Yeah, a virgin shall conceive a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Yeah, God in us, God within. Yeah, John 1 tells us, and the word became flesh and dwelleth amongst us. Look at Isaiah 9 verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Isaiah 7 14 says, a virgin shall conceive a son. Now we see in Isaiah 9 verse 6, two chapters after, it says, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called what? Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So his name, that is, so in as much as you see him as the Son of God, he is God. He is the message. He is God's message. He's the message of the prophets. Hallelujah. You see, Luke 24:25, you know, Jesus told unto them, he said, O fools and slow of heart to believe the message of the prophets. Now I am the message in front of you, beginning at Moses and the prophets. So Jesus is the message of the prophets. Look at 2 Corinthians. Look at 2 Corinthians 1. Look at 2 Corinthians 1 and 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. Yet, so the message of the prophet is about a person. The message of the person. So the prophet are messengers who preach God's message. God's message is a being, is a person. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. But as God is true, our word towards you was not yea and nay. Verse 7, verse 19. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me, and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. Verse 20, for all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. What does that mean? He is the yes of the promises. Yes means to, yes means amen. Amen means yes. Amen means done, fulfilled. So it means that for all the promises of God in him, they are yea, and in him amen. What does it mean? It means that the promises of God, they have been fulfilled in him. They are done. They are accomplished in him. So from Genesis chapter 1, we see that God has always made a promise. There's been a consistent promise flow. Yeah, and that promise is about a person. So in Christ, all the promises of God in him are yes and amen. Yeah, they are done. They are fulfilled in him. Hallelujah. Yeah, so that's not saying the promise of God is car. God doesn't promise people cars. Yeah, there is no promise of God in Christ that it revolves about your car or your house. No, no, no. The promises of God, what does that mean? It means the promises that have been said from the mouth and the lips of the prophets, they are fulfilled and accomplished in Christ. So he's not saying God promises you a car. It is yes in Christ. No, 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 no. Sincerity will make you understand that that is done. That's false. Yeah. In fact, look at Romans. Look at Romans 15, 8. Look at Romans chapter 15, verse 8. See what it says. Romans 15, 8. Romans chapter 15, verse 8. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to what? To confirm the promises made unto the fathers. All for God's promises are yes and amen in Christ. What does it tell you? Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. So in Jesus Christ, we see the fulfillment and accomplishment of God's promises from ages past. Are we together? Are we together? Glory to God. Glory. So what does that mean? He has established all promises. Yet all the promises that were as utterances on the lips of men, he is the fulfillment. He brings them to reality. Hallelujah. Now, let's pay a little more attention to, you know, okay, look at Galatians 3. Look at Galatians 3 verse 16. So the promise of Adam is the promise of Moses, is the promise of Abraham, is the promise to Ezekiel, the promise to Isaiah, and it is fulfilled in Christ. Look at Galatians chapter 3 verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. Yeah, yeah, Abraham and his seed. Now he said not unto seeds as of many, but as of one. For God, all God's promises are yes and amen in that seed as of one. Look at it. Galatians tells you, he said not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, and that one seed is Christ. Look at verse 29. And if ye be Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. Romans 8, 15, 16, 17. Hallelujah. So Christ is the establishment of all the prophecies that were given and spoken of or spoken by the lips of the prophets. So there are some things we need to pay attention concerning God's leading. Look at Psalm 32 verse 8 quickly. Look at Psalm 32 verse 8. The saint is full of life. The saint is full of life. The promises that God has made from the foundation of the world has been fulfilled now in the saints. Look at Psalm 32 verse 8. See that quickly. Psalm 32 verse 8. See this utterance. It says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with my eyes. So we are instructed and taught of the Lord. We have absolute guidance. Look at that. I will guide thee with my eyes. So remember, God is light. In him being light, he supplies guidance with his eyes. The difference between a saint who recognizes the leading or a saint who does the will of God and one who doesn't is that one of them recognizes the guidance that God supplies. See Psalm 37, verse 23. See, Psalm 37, verse 23. Psalm 37, verse 23. It says, a good man, or the steps of a good man, are ordered by the Lord and delighted in his way. A good man, there will be a righteous man. How are we made righteous? By faith. Romans 5 verse 1. Romans 5 verse 17. Yeah, we are made righteous by faith. Yeah, so the step of a good man, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Why do you think the step of a righteous man is ordered by the Lord? Why? Because the righteous man is full of light. Hallelujah. Yeah, that word there, ordered, means to put in proper place. Look at verse 24. Though he fall, he shall not but utterly cast down, for the Lord upholded him with his hand. John 15. John 15, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He that beareth no fruit, that is he that falls, he will take it away. Remember, what does take it away? He supplies. What did Psalm tell you in Psalm 37, verse 24? He says, the Lord upholded him with his hands. So it means that the truth is that even when we make errors in our walking, in our sense, through our senses and everything, he will yet uphold us. He never leaves us. He never leaves us astray. Oh, look at Hebrews 13. Look at Hebrews 13, 5. Look at Hebrews 13, 5. Oh, glory to God. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Look at that quickly. Oh, glory to God. He provides supply. Look at Hebrews 13, 5. He says, let your conversations be without covetousness and be content with such thing as ye have. What is the thing that ye have? He had said, I will never leave thee nor forsake you. So even though you fall, Psalm 37, he upholds you. John chapter 15, verse 12. He that beareth no fruit, what does he do? He provides support. Go back to Psalm 37 quickly. Psalm 37, quickly. Psalm 37, quickly. Psalm 37, verse 31. See that again. Look at Psalm 37, verse 31. See what it says. It says, the law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. What did he tell us earlier on? Look at what he tells us earlier on. He says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. What is really the step of a good man ordered by the Lord? Verse 31. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. So we see primarily, like we've established in our previous teachings, God's primary way of leading the saints is what? The law of his God, which is really his word. So his law is in our hearts. He has put his law there. We didn't do it. Yet he has put his law in our heart. He put it there by himself. Hebrews 8 verse 10. Hebrews 8 verse 10. Hebrews chapter 8 verse 10. Hebrews 8, 10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their heart, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be my people. Hallelujah. So he has done it. Yeah, I will write them in their heart. He has done it. So the truth is that as saints, we are not called to impress God. We are called to follow his leading. We are called to follow the law of God. Yet in following the law of God, that is his word, what do? Our steps are ordered. Our steps are, our feet are upheld. So the saint has direction. In him we have direction. Why? Because we have light. Glory to God. So his eyes is our way to go. The real sense, his eye is really what? The guidance we have. So he guides us by his eyes. What is that guidance? By the light he has put in us. How do we recognize that? By paying attention to God's word. Hallelujah. Look at 1 Corinthians 1, 30. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. That's what it says. It says, but of him are ye, in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Glory to God. You know, Colossians 2 tells us we are full and complete in Christ. We have his fullness. Yeah, on our path is life. Why? Because his eyes supplies guidance through us, for us. Yeah, we have life. 1 John, Ephesians 2 verse 10. Ephesians 2:10, quickly. Look at Ephesians 2 verse 10. It says, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So we are full, we are complete in Christ. Glory to God. So, it means that if we are complete, we need to trust being led of him. Hallelujah. If we are complete, we need to trust being led of him. Remember Romans 8, for as many as are led. So we said something, he that is led is being brought from the flesh to the spirit. In that leading, there's an inheritance. There's an inheritance. You know, so we're trying to pay a little attention to that inward witness. You know, what do you call inward witness? Some people call, you know, sometimes you just say, you know, some people call it the spirit promptings, some urgings, some warnings. Yeah, you hear some people say things like, oh, I'm sure a lot of us do that also. I have an urge in my spirit not to do this. Okay, I have a warning in my spirit not to do this. You see, truth is, because you are full of light, those attestations are not entirely out of place. Why? Because you are full of light. You are full of his life. Yeah, we're full of his life. Full of his life. So it means that there is something we are to do with this light that we have. So sometimes you just be like, oh, I have a nudge in my heart. Some will call it a prompting in my heart. Some will call it the inward witness. Now, the truth is, like we said, every saint is open to day-to-day activities, you know, or making decisions from day-to-day activities. So there's something called being exposed to the life or life in itself. When I mean life, I mean the life of the world, daily activity, activities of men. Look at First John. Look at First Corinthians. Let's do a little study on First Corinthians 2. First Corinthians 2:9. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ears heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of men, the things, the promises which God had prepared for them that love him. What did I do? I infuse 2 Corinthians 1 verse 18. For all God's promises are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. So, for I have not seen, nor here as it is written. Where is it? It is scriptures. What did the scriptures say? They prophesied about the things that were promised by God, which have now been done and accomplished in Christ. So, when it says I have not seen, it's not your car, it's not your house. That's covetousness. Yeah, the moment you see your house, you see your car, you see your estate, it is covetousness. The moment you see your job, it's covetousness. Yeah, so I have not seen, nor yet heard, the things which God had promised for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Yeah, he has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Look at verse 12 carefully. Now we have received, what did you receive? Life, light. Not the spirit of this world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given unto us of God. Yeah, the things freely given unto us are the things that have been accomplished as promises in Christ. They are things of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. There are things given. So it's interesting how saints nowadays think or believe that the things given to them by God are about their houses, their jobs, and their cars. But they never see what? The things of the Spirit. Never see the gifts of the Spirit. Look at 1 Corinthians 14. Oh, glory to God. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 24. Let's see 24. Look at verse 23. Paul is teaching about orderliness in the house of God. He says, if therefore the whole church be come together in one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned, those being unlearned in reference to the things of the Spirit, or unbelievers, will they not say that they are mad? Verse 24. But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all. So, verse 23. If you speak in tongues to one who is an unbeliever, he cannot comprehend. He will think you are mad. But verse 24. If he prophesy, what is prophecy? Tongues and interpretation. So, when you speak in tongues and interpret it, that's prophecy. Yeah. So, but if all prophecies, he is convinced of all. Look at verse 25. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. Yeah, that word, the secret, means the hidden things of his heart. So there are hidden things of the heart that the Spirit uncovers. So to say the Spirit has given out to us all things or the things of God and not pay attention to the ability of the Spirit is very interesting. So when it says, and thus are the secret of his heart made manifest. So a man can stand in front of you, and because you are light, you can use light to uncover some secrets of his heart. Yeah, hallelujah. Yeah, you can stand in front of a man. Yeah, I mean, I believe most of us, if not all of us, operate in the gift of spirit. I mean, if you've been in gospel for a while. Now, so the gifts of the spirit are things that are given to us freely by the work of Christ. That's what Paul has said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. That we might know the things freely given unto us. So those things freely given unto us, that life, that light that we have, in that there's something called tongues, in that there's something called prophecy, in that there's something called knowing the secret of a man's heart. Hallelujah. Yeah, so there is word of knowledge, there is word of wisdom, there is tongues, there is interpretation. It is given for and to all saints because you have received light. Embedded in light is all the manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit. What is word of knowledge? Word of knowledge is about knowing facts of the past or facts that are of the present. Yeah, you were in so and so place. You'll be shocked that someone knows about that. How did you know that? Verse 25. And those are the secrets of his heart made manifest. So, by the light that you have, you've used your light to shine light to uncover secret things. What is word of wisdom? Word of wisdom speaks about the present and the future. So, for every word of knowledge, for it to be complete, it should come with a word of wisdom. Yeah, look, this is what I mean. Yeah, you don't meet someone on the road and say, your name is Shehu. Tayo. Yeah, and leave it there. Yeah, by telling someone your name is Tayo, you must go further. Okay, this is what God will have in that word of wisdom. So there is word of knowledge, there is word of wisdom. There is word of knowledge, there is word of wisdom. So by and thus, verse 25, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. What is the real report? He will report that God, that is light, is in you of a truth. Yeah, so the things I had not seen, ear has not heard, they've now been fulfilled in Christ. For all the promises of God, they are yes and they are amen in Christ. What does that mean? They've been accomplished in Christ. The promises of the prophets, they've been accomplished in Christ. By that, we receive by believing the work of Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at verse 29, 28. It says, but if there be no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church. What does it mean to keep silent? It doesn't say firm. It's not saying firm. No. That keeping silence there is figurative for that is let him speak to himself and to God. Not let him imagine to himself and to God. Let him speak to himself and to God. So it means that we need to revisit all the scriptures that say women should keep silence in the church. Yeah, because Paul silent is not always speaking about firm. Yeah, the firm that we all know. Yeah, so let him keep silence in the church. What does that mean? Really speaking about orderliness in the church. So let the prophet speak two or three and let the other judge. Yeah, if anything be revealed to another that seated by, let the first hold his peace. Yeah, so disclosure being made or things that are secret being made open. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So there are prophecies of the scriptures, there are promises of the scriptures that have been fulfilled in Christ. In those fulfillment or in that fulfillment, there are some things that can be made clear. Run with me quickly to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. 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 See what scripture says there. 1 Timothy 1, verse 18. It says, this child I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before thee. So now, if you look at this now. So the prophecies that went before Timothy, they were not prophecies concerning the promises of God in Christ that are now yes and amen. Look at it this way. So can a saint reach out to you and tell you something that will happen in the nearest future? Yes. Now, that same way, there were prophecies that went before Timothy. Yeah, in fact, see chapter 4 rather. Chapter 4 verse 14. Chapter 4 verse 14. Chapter 4 verse 14. I walk in light, I walk in light. It says, chapter 4 verse 14. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands by the presbytery. What about that? Yeah, by the elders, really. Yeah, so neglect not the gift. Yeah, by prophecy. Those prophecies, now we speak about utterance. So, utterances, that is inspired speaking by the Spirit. So, because we've received of the Spirit of God by believing the gospel, there is an ability for us to give an utterance. Yeah, there's an ability to give a prophecy. Yeah, there's an ability to give a tongue and to interpret it so that we bring edification to the saints. Hallelujah, glory to God. So we've seen some examples about, certain of these things, Timothy's life, where Paul had something similar. Look at Acts 13, 2. Acts chapter 13, verse 2. Acts chapter 13, verse 2. Acts chapter 13, verse 2. See what it says there. It says, and as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said. So that means there was a speaking in tongues and an interpretation of tongues. So when you say the Holy Spirit said, it is by the lips of a believer, there was an utterance given. What was the utterance given? Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Look at Acts 16. Look at Acts 16. Look at Acts 16. We saw this on Sunday quickly. Acts 16. Acts 16 verse 6. It says, now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden. Yeah, so this is what we call the inward witness, what we call the spirit prompting or the urgings we have in our hearts. Yeah, so because we are full of light, you should not be new to when the light gives the signal. Are we together? So because they were well taught, they were well trained in the things of the spirit, they knew how to recognize a forbidding of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Yeah, so there is a way you would know that you should not do so and so. There is a way you would know that you should do so and so. There's a way you would know where to go. Yeah. Now, every saint has that ability resident in him. Why? Because he has received the life of God. He has received the light of God. So, by that alone, there is a prompting. We are open to promptings. We are open to nudges. We are open to urges. So, they were forbidden. Look at verse 7 again. And they are said to burden by the Spirit, but the Spirit suffered them not. So, they were forbidden. The Spirit suffered them not. That word there, suffered them, means to allow. So, the Spirit allowed them not. Verse 8, and they passing by Mysia came down to Troas. Now look at verse 9, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia. So it means that as saints, yeah, you can have dreams. Listen, follow attentively. Yeah, so as saints, you can have dreams. As saints, you can have visions. Now we're going to pay attention to what do we do or what do we use to filter our visions. You will see that you are not only, let me say this way. Not only saints have visions. Not only saints have dreams. We see that carefully. Cornelius was not a saint when he had a vision or a dream. Are we together? Peter, on the Mount of Transfiguration, was not a saint at the time. Yet, Paul had dreams. Paul had visions. Yet, so we are going to pay attention to how to filter your dreams. So how to filter what you call inward witnesses. Remember from our previous teaching, we said something. Yet, God cannot lead you outside the fruit of the Spirit. God cannot lead, I'll say that one more time. God does not lead people outside the fruit of the Spirit. What does that mean? It means that no matter how terrible someone does anything to you, God cannot lead you to do evil to that person. It's impossible. Yeah, so someone cannot beat you and you beat the person back. Someone slaps you, you slap the person back and say you had a nudge to slap the person back. That nudge is not the nudge of the Spirit. Yeah, that nudge is a nudge of ego. Yeah, that nudge is a nudge of disobeying scriptures. Yeah, that's not the Spirit. Yeah, so now look at it. Can someone slap? If someone slaps you, will be offended? Yes. What provokes you to slap back is not the nudge of the Spirit. No. It's not the nudge of the Spirit. No. It can't be. Yeah, so the nudges of the Spirit needs to be filtered in a way. How do we know? We'll see that carefully. So look at what happened in verse 10. And after Paul had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia. Remember that teaching on Sunday? Assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us forth to preach the gospel unto them. Hallelujah. So assuredly gathering means they put their different nudges together and came to a conclusion. Those are men full of the Spirit. Same thing that happened in Acts 13. Yeah, and the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Paul, for the work where I have called them unto. Yeah, that means the summative conclusion from their nudges and impressions was that. Look at Acts 17. Look at Acts 17, 16. Glory to God. Acts 17, 16. Look at, now when Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred. Yeah, what is his spirit was dead? He had a prompting. What is he had a prompting? There was an inward witness. What is there was an inward witness? He had an urge. What is he had an urge? His spirit was dead. Yeah, that word dead means to be provoked. Yeah, so it's like when you are made to do something. Yeah, so the spirit leads people by staring. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The spirit leads people by staring. Look at Acts 18. We're paying a little attention to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 18, verse 5. So what it says, and when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed. Can you see? He was steered. Now, this is a different one. He was pressed in the Spirit. So there's something called a steering in the Spirit. There's something called a pressing in the Spirit. There's something called a witness in the Spirit. There's something called an urge of the Spirit. There's something called a prompting in my heart. They're all one and the same. So, and when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the Spirit and testified to the Jew that Jesus was Christ. You know, it's interesting to see that majority of the leadings and pressings and the steerings, they had to do in reference to ministry. That's something we pay attention to. Let's something. So remember, I said on Sunday. Yeah, God cannot steer in my heart or prompt in my heart to clean to cancel Sunday service and clean the whole of Area One. We said that on Sunday. God cannot press in my heart. He cannot press. No, he cannot press. It is usually condemnation, really, guilt and condemnation. Yeah, can I have a civic mind for Nigeria and know that I'm to keep my environment clean? Yes. Yeah, but that I'm to keep my environment clean as my civic responsibility doesn't mean God is prompting me to sweep the environment. So I can come as a pastor, for instance, and tell you that, oh, today we can take care of our environment. But I don't need to add the prompting. No. Yeah. So the same way you cannot add the prompting to be when you react to when someone slaps you. We're going to see a couple of that yesterday. So we've seen a steering. We've seen a pressing. Look at Acts 20. We're trying to see examples later in Acts 20. Acts 20:20. Glory, glory, glory. Yeah, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jew, yeah, and also to the Greek, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the spirit unto Jerusalem. That word there, bound, is similar to steered, is similar to prompted. Yeah, that word there, bound, is actually a better word for that is compelled. But this compelling is not forceful. So we can say something that is powerfully convincing. Look at it again. He says, and now behold, I go be bound in the spirit, yet compelled in the spirit. Yet it, that means there was a powerful conviction Paul had. Hallelujah. So it means that the inward witness, based on the light that we have, because we receive this light, it means that we can be urged. It means that we can be compelled. It means that we can be forbidden. Yeah? It means that we can be stirred. Hallelujah. These are all promptings. So they are not new to the believers. They are not new to the saints. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Yeah, so the inward witness really is about the witness that the born-again spirit endorses. Yeah, we can say it better. The witness of the born-again spirit which endorses, refutes, or warns against, or clarifies facts exposed to it. Let me say that one more time. The inward witness can be said to be the witness of the born-again spirit which endorses, which refutes, which warns against or clarify facts exposed to it. Are we together, dear saints? I hope we're learning something this evening. Why? Now, why is this so? We are light. God said he will uphold us. God said he will guide us. John 15. Yeah, he that beareth no fruit, he will take away. What does it mean to take away? He supplies support. Yeah, so there's something that is very, very vital to our Christian faith. Now, our spirits are automatically lit up upon salvation and they remain lit forever. Yeah? So, we are in God's kingdom. Remember Colossians here? Yeah? We've been delivered from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. First Peter, we've been delivered from darkness into his marvelous light. Yeah, but the truth is that a lot of us often encounter difficulties recognizing the witness or coming to a conclusion concerning the witness. The truth is that, actually, it's because we've not deliberately or sufficiently renewed our minds in the Word. That's what I'm saying. We must feed ourselves. You see, remember, when you're growing up, there's some instructions your parents gave you, such that when you find yourself in very complicated scenarios or situations, those words begin to echo. Yeah, you get to hear those words. Yeah, see, that is the same thing. It is because you paid attention to your parents' words, that is why they can re-echo to you when you find yourself in confusing situations. When you know you should not do certain things. When you know you should do certain things. Yeah, the same thing with the Word of God. Remember, we said something. In recognizing the leading of the Spirit, our relationship matters a lot with men. Because a lot of times, how we respond to men determines how we respond to God's leading. Glory to God. Glory to God. So, the reason why you can remember the voice, see, look at Samuel and Eli, we've looked at it over and over. The reason why Samuel had a call 2 times and went to Eli is because Samuel had exposed his heart to Eli's voice. So, there is a need for us to expose our hearts to the voice of God, which is the Word of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at Romans 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present yourself, your bodies a living sacrifice. Now, so he's not saying present your body as a, no. He says, present your body a living sacrifice. Yeah, acknowledge. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is in your, or which is your reasonable service. Look at verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So there is a renewal of mind that should be done. Yeah, that you may be able to prove. That word there, prove, means to attest or to recognize. Yeah, that which is good, that you may be able to prove what is that good that is the acceptable, that is the perfect will of God. So God doesn't have the good will. God has the perfect will, and now says this is the acceptable will. Yeah, so you have three boys you are liking. One doesn't have beard, but you like people that have beards. So one that has beard and afro and is light skin, yeah, is perfect will. The one that is full of the spirit is perfect, perfect will. The one that is acceptable is the one that just goes to church and, you know, wears fitted trousers, doesn't wear skin tight, doesn't wear ribbon. No. Yeah, what is Paul saying? Paul is saying something very important. Yeah, because God is light, there is no shadow of darkness with God. So God will not give or supply three options. It has to be one. So that ye may prove what is that good, that is that word yet, and is the word kai, which is that is, which is John 3 verse 1 to 3. A man must be born again, yeah, must be born of water, that is the spirit. Yeah, a man must be born of water, that is the spirit. Yeah, so a lot of scriptures we use for, you know, water baptism, and we've seen that from scriptures, no disciple, no apostle, Jesus himself, none of them acknowledged or told us to dip people in water. Yeah, so the same word, and being born of water, figurative for the spirit. Yeah, 2 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 14, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, what you call, and the sweet fellowship, no, Paul is saying the same thing, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that is the love of God, which is the supply of the spirit. So that you may be able to prove, that is to attest or to recognize, what is that good that is the acceptable, that is the perfect. So it is good, acceptable, that is which is perfect will of God. You know, we've looked at a couple of these things in our investigative scriptures. Yeah. So it is that there is something we have to acknowledge. Look at James 1:16. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Look at James 1 verse 16. Look at that carefully. Let's pay little attention to that. Look at James 1 16. Look at James 1 16. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good, that is every perfect gift, is from above. Is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. So if God is the Father of light, it means that we are light. So if God is the Father of light, it means that the people that he begat are light. So he is the Father of light. Hallelujah. You know, so the world right now makes it very difficult for people to recognize God's leading. Why? Because there are so many distractions. If it's not Netflix, it's Yoruba Africa Magic. If it's not Africa Magic, you will subscribe for Iroko TV. If it's not Iroko TV, you're on YouTube. You know, there's always something to keep the heart busy. Yeah, but the saint must be disciplined in, so that he'll be able to prove, that is to attest the good, that is the perfect, and the acceptable and perfect will of God. That's why it says we are to keep renewing our minds. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we see something that inward witnesses will not come, yeah, with things or that things that negate the fruit of the Spirit. Yeah, there are things that, so God cannot lead you to curse. Yeah, God cannot lead you to abuse. Yeah, God cannot lead you to insults. Yeah, God cannot lead you to ask anybody to die. No. Those are against the fruit of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Now, another thing again, vital, for the inward witness, God, remember we said something in our first teaching. God's word comes as light, and there is no shadow with it, to it. So it means that there is a peace that comes with God's leading. Look at Galatians 5:22. Galatians 5:22. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, is joy, is peace. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Yeah, so he didn't say, for the fruit of the Spirit is fear. No. So it means that when God is going to lead the saints, there's peace in it. Look at 2 Timothy 1:7. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. It says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, yet but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. See, remember, that's teaching in reference to doctrine. Look at 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14. Let's quickly run through the scriptures while we round off this series. You know, it would be good, you know, you lay your hands on the, you know, previous teachings, because we've been building a very big house this year. we've been building a very big house of doctrine this year. Yeah, we started from investigating scriptures, explaining God's word and how to read scriptures. We looked at water baptism, looked at Holy Communion, and that led us into leading of the Spirit, which lead us into our next month's teaching on generosity. Yeah, look at 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33. Verse 33, so what it says? It says, for God is not the author of confusion. So look at it. It means that when God speaks, it doesn't come with confusion. Look at it. That negates Romans 12, verse 2, when it says there's a goodwill, there's an acceptable. Because the truth is that when you have the goodwill, or let's assume God gives you three options, the good, the acceptable, and the perfect, you get yourself confused, because you are confused as to what to pick. Maybe the one that is good is finer than that which is perfect. Yeah. So look at it, verse 33. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. So there's no fear in the things God does. Philippians 4:7. Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, back to where we started from, Romans 6. Go back to Romans 6:11. Romans chapter 6, verse 11. Look at Romans chapter 6, verse 11. It says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sins. But reckon, that is, pay attention to the fact that you are alive unto God through Christ Jesus. Yeah, so there's a work of Jesus. There's a work that made us alive. There's a work of Jesus that gave us life. Ephesians 2 says, he has quickened us. Yeah, to quicken, he made us alive. Glory to God. So when it says, likewise, reckon, what does it mean? It means we agree with what God says. So what does God say? He that believes me has life. So it means that he that believes him, Christ Jesus, has light. So it means that we are to pay attention that God quickens man. So God quickens the heart of a man that believes. What are we to do? Likewise, he reckon. You are dead in sins. So being dead in sins is being dead to God. Though to physical men, it looks like you are alive. But to God, you are dead in sins. You are being dead to God. So you might be biologically alive, but you are dead in sins. So it means that the quickening that we have upon receiving the gospel is not biological. The quickening is a life given to someone who has a biological life. Let's say that better. Yeah, the quickening that we receive of the Spirit is a life that has been given to a man who already has a biological life, or is biologically alive. So that means there's life and there's life. Yeah, there's God's life and there's life. So there is life that is bigger than life. There is the life of God that is bigger than the biological life. There's a life of Son that is bigger than the life of the womb of a woman supplies. Let me say it better. Yeah, there is a womb of God that supplies life. Yeah, there's a womb of a woman that is your mother that supplies life. Yeah, the womb of God is that life that is supplied, or is the Spirit that what gives birth to you. John 3. Hallelujah. So he says, reckon ye that you are alive. So, because you are alive, you have the tendencies to have a steering, you have a perception, you have a prompting, you have a forbidding, you have an urge. Look at Acts 27. Let's see what Acts 27, you know, says. Acts 27, quickly. Look at Acts chapter 27, verse 9. Acts 27, verse 9. See what happens carefully. Look at Acts 27, verse 9. It says, now, Acts 27, verse 9. Now, when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them. Look at Paul's admonition. And said unto them, sirs, I perceive. You see that inward witness. You see that prompting. You see that perception. And he said, sirs, I perceive that this voyage, this ship, will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Look at verse 11. In the perception, there was a nevertheless. See what it says? Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which Paul has spoken or which were spoken by Paul, which were spoken by perceptions. So Paul had an urge. Paul had a perception. What did they do? They chose to believe the sailor of the ship more than Paul. Now, Paul wasn't, there's no record that shows that Paul was skilled in sailing. Now, there's no record that shows that Paul was skilled in observing and knowing about the atmospheric weather condition. No. But Paul was skilled in recognizing the perception of the heart. What did Paul say? Something will happen to this ship, but no life will be lost. That's practical. How did he know that? Word of knowledge. Paul combines the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom. So I perceive, sirs, I perceive. So Paul might not have known about the technicality of sailing a ship. Yeah, so from scriptures, there is no scripture that you can open to learn how to go on a trip. No scripture teaches you how to sail a ship. But there are scriptures and the Bible teaches how to be led, how to recognize his leading. So, you see Paul say, I perceive that, so it means that what Paul was doing here was not quoting scriptures. Paul didn't say, as it was written in the scripture, or as it is written. No, he says, I perceive. So, what did Paul use? Verse 9, it tells what did Paul do. Paul admonished them. So Paul used his perception to admonish. So he was voiced. So when Paul was admonishing, Paul admonished them simply means that Paul was voicing his perception. So it means that your perceptions can be put into words. Glory to God. Yeah, I'll say that again. Your perceptions can be put into words. You see, for instance, you know, in church, when we have believers meeting and things like that, you know, you just stand beside someone and you just have a prompting. For instance, on Friday, we had a believers meeting, you know, and we saw that we all manifested in gifts of the Spirit. Now, those promptings that you had in your heart, you were able to put them into words. Now, look at it. Your perception does not increase, but your voicing out of the perception might increase over time. In fact, should increase over time. I say that again. See, Paul used his perception to engage the people. Even though on the same ship, there were others that were more skilled than him in sailing. So it means that you can be on a plane with the world's best pilot and perceive. Glory to God. Now, if he gives you the plane to fly, you might not be able to fly. Hallelujah. Yeah, but you can be able to perceive that, see, there's a turbulence ahead. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You see, perception is not a function of skill at a particular job or training. Look at 27. Look at 27 again. Look at verse 21 of that same chapter. Look at verse 21 of Acts 27. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me. What should they have hearkened unto? I perceive. He said, ye should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete. And to have gained this harm and loss. So perception is a function of the Spirit of God we have, but there is something called an admonition of the perception, which is what? Placing a voice to communicate your perceptions. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So they sailed from Crete. Yeah, what did Paul say? You should have hearkened to my... So the interpretation of his perceptions became clearer in verse 27. It means there was an event. He had a perception. There is an interpretation to the perception. There is a voicing of the perception. Yeah. So perceptions doesn't increase. Inward knowledge doesn't increase. Recognizing inward knowledge and putting a voice to it is what needs to increase, or what the same needs to increase upon. Interpretation of your promptings or perceptions might improve. Recognizing might improve, but the constant is constant that God is light. So, God, remember, God's light doesn't shine brighter or brighter. God's voice doesn't go louder. Remember, I said something over. God's voice cannot be louder than what it is. Yeah, so the same doesn't need to pray that God be louder to speak to me. No, the same needs to give in less to distractions to be able to recognize God's Lord, God's voice. Reason is where, so, how did Paul know how to say, sirs, I perceive? Romans 6:11, Paul tells you, he says, likewise ye, reckon also that you are alive unto God. Oh, glory to God. Yeah, so a Christian or not, you will travel. Yeah, but there are some knots you will have. Yeah, there are some times, you know, we've given practical examples. There are some times you know not to go through a particular road and you step back. Yeah, you remember I've given practical examples. There are times I've had promptings not to go through particular roads and I regretted it. So even myself, I am paying more attention to improving my interpretation and recognition of what the prompt is. Oh, so in carrying God's purpose, we will be led. We will have impressions. God will place some impressions in our hearts. Yeah, there are all those impressions need to be interpreted. It is how you interpret it that shows your spiritual maturity. Yeah, your spiritual maturity can be seen by others in how you interpret it. What, now look at it. Because you are alive unto God, you will have impromptu, you will have impressions, you will have promptings. Whew. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Remember Romans 8. Yeah. Romans 8 verse 14 says, for those that are led by the Spirit, they are sons. You know, tells us that the Spirit himself beareth witness with us. What does that mean? The Spirit makes it obvious. It brings to the forefront or bears witness together with. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. So, God's Spirit is recognized with our spirits. That's fellowship and union. Our spirit is recognized with and in God's Spirit. So, the inward witness is the witness of the human spirit that is born again to a fact that is exposed to it. Hallelujah. I'll say that again. The inward witness can be said to be the witness of the human spirit that is born again, yet that the human spirit that is in fellowship with God's Spirit, yet that is born again to, and the witness of the human spirit that is born again to a fact exposed to it. So, the witness can be to refuse something, to reject something, to ask for, or can ask you to take caution, or to accept something. Hallelujah. So, there are certain things that are clear in scriptures. You don't need a living to pray. Men ought to pray and pray always. It's clearly in scripture. Yeah, so, don't, you don't need to say, Lord, prompt me to pray. No, no, no. You are the one to, men ought to pray without ceasing. You are the one to act into that. It's already a living in scriptures. So, when you have a nudge to pray, when you have a prompting to pray, what do? You just pray. Don't give yourself reasons not to pray. Yeah? In fact, even if you don't have any nudge in your heart to pray, go and look for scriptures to nudge you. Yeah? Go to Matthew, pray without ceasing. Go to 1 Thessalonians 5, men ought to pray without ceasing. Go to Matthew 17, thereby it says, men, Jesus said, spoke this parable to this end, men ought to pray and pray always. You see, so that's why as saints, we are not to pray only when there is problem. Amen. We are not to pray only when there is problem. See, you just sit in front of you start speaking in tongues, you're not louder. Yeah, yeah. When the pilot says the plane might not land, you now start speaking. No, you are not to pray only when there is problem. The saints are called to pray always. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, let's try to tie a knot around there. You know, a few points just take around this inward witness and, you know, promptings. Now, don't let anybody lead you to do what God will not have you do. So, for every inward witness you have, it should submit to the degree at which the word speaks or the degree of the word of God. For every prompting you have, yeah, you should submit to what? The degree of the word of God. Don't let anybody lead you out of God's way. You see, don't let anybody just come and meet you and just say, so you've not had a prophet before, you've not had any knowledge before. You see, I see you ministering in the midst of whites. You see, when you hear those things, take a step back. Be sure it is not just wishing you well. Yeah? Is that what God will have you do? I see you ministering in a colorblind nation. Yeah? Take a step back and be sure. Yeah? Is that what God will have you do? Yeah? There are some things that are well wishes. Doesn't mean that it is will of God. Is every newborn baby, once they are praying, their ministry is the end of the world, the end of the earth. Every newborn baby. So, don't allow those well wishes take you away from God's leading. Whew. You know, so like we said earlier on, it appears that most of the leadings we see in Acts and things like that, they revolve around ministry. You know, so people will be asking questions, what about non-ministry related? You know, the truth is that, in the real sense, on the end, ministry is somewhere, somehow involved. For instance, marriage, you cannot be led outside to go and marry a man who is not in Christ. That's not the leading. That's carnality. A Christian can never be led by the Spirit of God to marry a non-Christian. That's carnality. It can never happen. Yeah? You can. So, at the end of the day, you realize that the reason is because ministry is the end goal. Because at the end of the day, you say, I will train him. At the end of the day, he will train you. For you know, you start carrying his view. Hallelujah. Yeah. So you will know there are some things that are clear in scriptures. You will not want to be in a relationship with someone who will take you out of God's will, who will take you out of ministry. Yeah, you can't be in a relationship with someone who doesn't send church. You say, yes, accounting. I want to settle down. You see, it's a very wrong practice and wrong teaching to say things like settle down in reference to marriage. Yeah, you know, when you finish graduating, now you go and settle down. What you mean is go and marry? No, that's not taught in scriptures. Yeah, no, we are not forced to marry in scriptures. Settling down is not for marriage. What is marriage? Marriage is when two settled believers come together to live a harmonious life. It's not when you marry, you settle down. See, don't put yourself under, remember, we dealt with that a lot in church. Don't put yourself under unnecessary pressure. Hey, I'm 35. I need to settle down quick. No, you are settled. Marriage is for two settled believers to get together and make up their mind to remain settled. Yeah, so you ask questions. Yeah, what about this person? Is a fine boy, the good? So that's why proper Bible interpretation will help and aid you in recognizing promptings. Because people you will know, they look very beautiful and so on, and it looks like they're coming to church, but in your heart, you know that this guy is deceiving himself. In the real sense, he's trying to deceive you. Glory to God. Glory to God. So we're trying to deal with the inward witness, and we trust that we've had a beautiful time, you know, learning about God's spirit. You know, so at times when it's time for to edify someone in tongues, interpretation, word of knowledge, that's how you realize sometimes, yeah. When we do word of knowledge, yeah, we will say a name, it might not come out clear, we re-say it, yeah. In re-saying it, never be scared. In re-saying it, you are getting perfect on the perfect day. You are getting better in re-saying. So I hear a this. I hear Ayo, 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 Ayo. Who is Ayo Mide? Yeah, so someone that says, oh, not Ayo Mide, Ayo Mikun. So you got Ayo. Yeah, stay there. Yeah, keep at it. You got Ayo. What other name is there? You get the point. Yeah. So the saint needs to keep practicing the recognition for him to get better by the day. What a lot of us do is that because of being scared to be wrong, we shy away from the gifts of the Spirit. Hallelujah. So sometimes you have some feelings. You have some promptings. You know, sometimes I lay my hands on people and begin to just have some urges in my heart. I'm like, okay, this is what God will have you do. This is what you are doing right now. This is what you are doing. This is what you will do. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, there's an aspect of visions. You know, we have a couple of examples in scriptures. Acts chapter 5 verse 20. You know, Peter in jail. An angel came. Acts chapter 9 verse 10. Acts 10, 9. Truth is that you will see things. And there are sometimes, and a lot of times, there will be directions in the things you see, the visions you see. Yeah, but the truth is that, how do we know one who is spiritually matured? How he interprets his vision? So remember, we looked at on Sunday, two or three witnesses. Yeah, two or three. Yeah, a word is established. The truth is that visions, dreams can also be vehicles by which God relates with us. However, no matter the vision or the dream you have, it must submit to the written word. Yeah? Yeah, it must submit to the written word. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yeah, so when you have promptings and urges to pray for people, yeah, spend time praying. See, there are many things that will happen on earth, and it will happen only because someone refused to pray. Yeah, someone refused to recognize the leading. Yeah, so a lot of things will happen because someone recognized the leading. Yeah, so as saints, learn not to disobey God's voicing. Learn to pay attention to God's word, yet to filter your dreams, your visions. That's why you see, for instance, shows like The Voice, Project Fame, you see 3-4 judges. Yeah, one can say yes, the other says yes, the other says no. Because the truth is that, like we said, God will not lead you out of the fruit of the Spirit. So God's word is primarily the way that by which God leads us. Let me say something again. Whatever will put you under pressure cannot be the Spirit of God. Whatever will put you under pressure cannot be the Spirit of God. Whatever will put you under fear cannot be the Spirit of God. Because God's voice comes with clarity. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. You know, learn to submit yourself to God's leading and learn not to try to prove a point. You know, trying to prove a point to God is really a wasted venture. Yeah? Just obey God. Just to be God's leading. That's why our saints were not giving to unnecessary competitions. It is well. So, we've seen something very important. So, we've spoken about how you must guard your circle on Sunday, you know, and the truth is that, now, there are some things that God will lead you to do, but there are proper timings attached to them. Yeah? There are proper timings attached. If you look at John chapter 2, yeah, Jesus knew that there was a time when he went for the wedding. Yeah, his mother asked them to do anything. He asked them to do that, you know, anything he says, do, he will work miracles. But Jesus said, my time is not yet close. So there's a time. So Paul knew when to go and when not to go. some cities that Paul was forbidden to go at a particular time, he eventually ended up going later. Glory to God. So, in recognizing the inward witness, the urges, the promptings, we need to recognize God's timing. Yeah? We need to recognize God's timing. God's timing. God's timing. So, remember we said something. Peter saw accurately in a vision, Matthew 17. Cornelius saw in a vision, yeah, without eternal life, Acts 10. Paul saw, yeah, and he explained before in presence of, the vision on the road to Damascus and things like that. But after Paul had received eternal life, while he was praying in the temple, he saw accurately in the vision. After Peter received eternal life, he saw in the vision, Acts 22, Acts 10. So, what does that mean? A man's constitution by default is exposed to what? Seeing vision. So both saints, non-saints can see visions. Both saints, both non-saints can have nudges and urges. Yeah, but how do we separate? Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So it means that if saints and non-saints can have visions, it means that the saint needs to have a filter for his visions. So it means that a saint cannot always live a life based on visions. A filter is necessary. A filter is necessary. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory, 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 glory. So we need to submit ourselves and continually allow God's written word to cross-examine or filter all our visions. That's why the saint cannot do without having proper understanding of scriptures, because a man cannot live above his understanding of his God, well explained in scriptures. Hallelujah. It's been a pleasure to bring God's word your way. You know, I trust you've been able to learn a few things about God's leading, a few examples here and there concerning the inward witness, a few examples here and there concerning the nudges, the promptings, the steering, and things like that, you know, by the Spirit. Glory to God. Now, we've come to an end for the Leading of the Spirit series for now. Yeah, there's still so much we need to learn and teach about. There's still so much we need to learn and teach about, you know, but we trust that as the days unfold, we'll begin to gain clarity in certain things that God will have us do. Enjoy the rest of your evening, dear saints. Until I come your way again, Jesus remains glorified. I love you all. I love you all. I love you all. Stay joyful. Stay prayerful. Cheers.